I call this meeting to order for the Committee on Academics on October 12th, 2018 at 1:05 p.m. and on the third floor of the Joe Crowley Student Union in the President's Conference Room. Moving to Agenda Item 2, roll call.
Senator Collins.
Present.
Senator Amaya.
Present.
Senator Ahmed.
You said present for me. You're good. Present. We're both present.
Okay. Senator Hudson. Senator Hughes?
Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Hudson's absence excused.
Okay.
Present.
Senator Lemus?
Present.
Senator Sewell?
Present.
Senator Wilcox?
Absence excused.
Senator Wildick?
Present.
A quorum is present.
All right, moving to Agenda Item 3, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? All right, seeing none, we'll move to Agenda Item 4, minutes. So I put the wrong minutes on here for, I put September 14th, which we approved last week, but they did add a few updates, so we'll still approve those. So I'm seeking a motion to approve agenda items A through B through unanimous consent. Senator Amaya.
I move to approve agenda item 4 A through B through unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can I discuss it?
Senator,
Senator Hughes.
Ew, sorry. I want to call you Hudson. Senator Hughes.
Just as long as, like, there was a error on saying Board of Regents instead of Board of Regents, as long as, like, I don't know if that has to be changed, because, like, that would kind of be changing the purpose.
The whole spelling. Dr. Beattie, would that be a clerical error just because it says Board of Regents instead of Board of Regents?
Like, yeah, how it's spelled? Regents. Clerical? Okay.
So any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Moving to agenda item 5, A, Old Business Committee Senator Updates. I just want to go around and do updates. Specifically on liaison positions, because I know we assigned those a long time ago. For Senator Lemus and Ahmed, you guys, since you guys just joined, you guys are more than welcome to join with other senators as these liaison positions. So I'll email this to you guys later, too, so you can see all the ones we have. But we have Faculty Senate, and that's Senator Wilday and Wilcox. We have Office of Provost, Senator Hughes and Senator Sewell. Office of Administration and Records, Senator Hughes, Senator Hudson, Senator Maya. So there's three on that one, so probably don't join in on that. We have libraries, Senator Amaya and Senator Hudson, and then help centers and tutoring, which is Senator Willey and Sewell. So if you guys want to go around and kind of just give me an update on what you guys have so far, if you guys are going to start any projects they asked you, like what's on their agenda. So Senator Sewell, do you want to go first?
Yeah, so Senator Hughes and I spoke with the provost and the vice provost, so we went over a bunch of different information. I guess the key points the interdisciplinary is just neuroscience and not general studies. We talked about summer classes and how they want to get the formula funding for STEM classes so that will turn into a 3-semester college, and then the issues that would come up with that. They have a full like staff that's trying to figure out how they would formulate it to work for the following year, since it would be implemented summer of 2020 if it were to go into place, and they'll know whether or not it's approved in May or June. It straddles the fiscal year, like summer straddles the 2 fiscal years, so that's why it would be challenging. But he's been in contact with Speaker Martinez about it. But his issues are just like the different faculty, because faculty right now works fall and spring, and so if they were to work summer as well, then they wouldn't have a semester to do research, so figuring out how they would do that, as well as classes, since it's specifically with engineering classes, we have prereqs, and they kind of just follow the 4-year plan. So if those classes were to be offered in the summer, like whether or not students would be required to take them in summer, as well as giving kids, or students, 3-year graduation plans, because they have an extra summer to take classes, as well as student housing and maintenance repairs and financial aid. So those are all kind of his worries with that. What else did we talk about? And then we talked about kind of what he does. Although he's provost, it's kind of more the chief academic officer. So he's in charge of everything. And then we talked about how ASUN has a strategic plan, so how we have No Laws 2025 right now. They have a strategic plan called University Strategic Plan, which they update every 6 to 7 years, as well as a master plan. And next year, they're going to update their University Strategic Plan, so they want to get in contact with whatever senators will have next year so that they understand what our plan is and what their plan is, and to make sure that they overlap and we can work together to do things. So we talked about like the reapportionment of Senate, and then kind of what we're doing as well as what they're doing, and how like No Laws 2025 can be implemented into their strategic plan as well. And then Senator, do you want to add anything to that? Sorry.
No, that's good.
Okay. And then Senator Wilde and I spoke with the math tutoring center and then the university tutoring center, and then we have not heard back from the writing center as of yet. Oh, this is a lot. Sorry, guys. This is kind of long.
Wait, you spoke in person?
Yes.
With them?
Yeah, with both of them.
Senator, will they?
I could also give some of this info.
Yeah.
I could just talk about, like, the ideas that we have going forward.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay, Senator, will they then? Do you want to talk about that now?
Do you want to talk about what we talked about with them first?
Okay. With the math tutoring center, we talked to them about where they get all of their funding from and kind of what they do. And so they have walk-ins and a tutoring center. It's not really one-on-one. They don't have any appointments or anything. It's more just for walk-ins to be able to come and do math. They do different events for outreach, but they feel like they're not really reaching to enough students because students are scared to get tutoring, because I feel like if they're like getting tutoring, then they're not a smart enough student. And so right now, the main concern is with their academic success fee, which hasn't been updated since 2010. Right now, students pay $25 for that academic success fee, which goes towards the Math Center. However, we've outpaced that with enrollment, so they're still not getting enough funding. And so even though we give them funding, which I think is like $8,800 or something like that, I would have to remember, as ASUN, they outsource, so they also get around $35,000 from 365 Learning. They get money from the math department, and then some of our vice provosts pays for half of, what was her first name that we met with? I forget.
Danielle's
salary. So even though she has an academic position in a tutoring center, our vice provost pays for half of her salary, which I found interesting.
I have a question, actually.
Yeah.
So they're saying that, like, these funds that they're getting, they don't have enough, and where are these funds? Like, these funds are, like, paying, like, the salary of, like, the people within the center?
Right.
Yeah.
And then they also have the student technology fee that has, like, built into it right now, that has into that fee an increase in every certain amount of years is built into that fee, so it'll just increase on like by itself, whereas the academic success fee doesn't. So maybe writing legislation in the future about whether or not the academic success fee should have an increase built into it. The other concern is that graduate students do not pay the academic success fee. They don't pay the $25. They only pay $5 to use the Writing Center, but graduate students still use the Math Center, so we don't know if that's fair or not.
Uh-huh.
And then as far as the tutoring center goes, we talked with Marsha Urban, who's in charge of that, and they do a bunch of stuff, but it's all, like, pretty legit. Like, I don't have any issues with anything that they do besides just us wanting to do an information campaign, which I'll let Senator Wilde talk about. But they have a really strict way in which they deal with undergrads versus graduate students, how they get their money, where they use their money, how it's allocated. It's all very impressive, actually, so I'm proud of that. But I'll send it,
You said that undergraduate or graduate students don't pay the academic fee.
So they only
express that they would want graduate students, considering that they do use the
center. The thing with that, and I think Dr. Beattie can attest to this, is that graduate students don't enjoy paying money for anything. And so every time that they go to try to have the graduate students approve this academic success fee, they don't. So the GSA basically has just said that they'll pay $5 to use the Writing Center, because the Math Center only does tutoring for undergraduate classes, which graduate classes don't have to care. Graduate students don't have to take anyways. But somehow they still have graduate students that'll go in and like ask math related questions. Mm-hmm. So then it's kind of the like, well, what should they pay and like how? So,
Dr. Beattie.
Yeah. So you've come into the time in your office and said that where finances are going to become a thing. Every time there's a new Senate body, right, anyone that's come for money from the Senate body before, it hasn't gotten it, or something new has come up. So President Johnson, a long time ago, made a stipulation, and he agreed that the Student Senate and the students in general agreed to this continuous tuition increase every year to offset some things, that there would be no new fees until fall of 2019, right? And so people have been coming for the last 4 or 5 years and asking for things, and they've just been saying no new fees. Now, that didn't mean that existing fees couldn't be raised, right? So ASU had voted, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, to raise the technology fee because the internet down by cabinet was just awful, and you know what I mean? There were all kinds of places on campus where you couldn't get what you needed, and ASUN agreed and voted for that fee. Historically, there are a lot of things that the undergraduate population utilizes that graduate students pay a lot less into or don't pay into. Campus escort is one of those things, right? However, they do every several years generally allocate funds to help buy a van, so they help in that way. When the E.O. Wigan Fitness Center was first built, the undergraduate student population voted for a fee, that $25 fee, to build the building. GSA didn't have the same foresight as ASUN, and they voted it down. So the building got built, and y'all were paying $25 a semester to work out in that fantastic gym. And they said, well, we want to be able to work out in the gym. And they said, okay, well, it's going to be $200 a semester since not every graduate student's paying into it. I don't know what the number was. I just made that up. But it was way higher than the fee. So then they got wind of that and went back and voted in the graduate student fee so they could utilize that facility. There's certain reasons that you have to remember, right? A lot of graduate students are international students, right? And do you have any idea what it costs to be an international student? So when new fees come in, it can be really detrimental. First of all, you're paying to be out of the country. Then you're paying exorbitant international student fees, right? So there are some challenges there. Of course, there are a lot of graduate students that are on graduate stipends, so they're working 20 hours a week and getting $1,700 a month with a tuition waiver. So there's a lot of things, but I sat on GSA for 3 years. I was the internal vice president, and pretty much every time anything financial came up, it was limited. You had to fight for it. And part of it is tight, you know, tight finances, different expensive fees, things like that, or perceived need that their constituents don't want the service. But we know, right, because we track the data that graduate students use Campus Escort, graduate students use the food pantry. That used to be a collaborative effort, too, between GSA and ASUN. So, yeah, so you've come to that time of money, and everyone knows that we're flat this year, right? Enrollment's flat, and credit loads are a little down. So ASUN's budget isn't super flush. Things to remember are the university has a $600 million budget. ASUN has a $2.3 million budget. So when people come to you looking for money for different things, it's their job to convince you that it's what's in the best interest for ASUN and the undergraduate students, right? And we've talked about this before, agendas. Everybody has an agenda, right? I have an agenda. I'm paid to have an agenda. It's to educate Senate and other student government officers, right? If Jim Fitzsimmons will be the first one to tell you if he comes in from the Wigan Center. I have an agenda. I want students to be as healthy as I can on campus. I'm going to fight for that. One time the Arboretum Board was in here looking for a student fee to plant non-indigenous plants on campus. They wanted every student in the university to have a 50-cent fee. Well, they're the Arboretum Board. Their job is to get more trees on campus. So an agenda isn't necessarily nefarious, but is somebody else's agenda really aligning with yours, right? Or is there equity in the process? Is there somewhere else that money can be found, right? ASUN creates initiatives and puts money into those things, but when I'm from an academic department that doesn't have any money, I see this as a potential funding source, right? You see GSA as that. You see anywhere there's funding, the provost office is one area of funding. So what these individuals are doing, they're coming in, it doesn't mean that what they're asking for is a bad thing, right? But what you need to consider is that what's in the best interest for undergraduate students. Is ASUN the one that should be paying for it, right? Sometimes there are great things, you know, that students should be having on campus, but it doesn't mean that $5 per student credit fee that's given to ASUM is the appropriate funding source to pay for that. So these are just the questions I'd like you to ask yourself every time someone talks about, oh, we could use it to pay for this person's salary, or, oh, we'd love to have, I don't know, live jazz music on campus every day, or, you know, is that the best responsible fiscal use of these public funds? Or is that something that should really be paid for out of an academic department, out of enrollment services, out of somewhere else? And then especially when a new tax comes in, right? Like, so the graduation tax you guys just passed, that's what it is. It's a tax, right? It's a fee you're paying. But yeah, you guys went around and talked and found out, yeah, all the students were saying, I want to be able to graduate in the quad, right? And if you want to be able to graduate in the quad, things go up and the price is necessary. But I would also be careful about passing too many different fees in any given year, right? Because it becomes unduly burdensome on students. So it's a very hard decision you'll have to make, and I've got no stake in the process either way. It's not my money, it doesn't go to me, it doesn't go to my services. But it's I think it's something you really need to be asking yourselves every time anybody's looking for money, right? Is this the best use, or is there a better use for our money? You have a limited budget, right? You guys just saw what went through budget and finance and through Senate. Your budget's been reduced by 3% to meet the expenses that you already have. And sometimes I think outside entities believe that ASUN just has this endless supply of funding coming in, right? But you're like a money tree. You're not. So if you're going to be paying for something, you know what I mean, to keep libraries open longer, to pay people salaries, or think very carefully about what you want to cut in ASUN that you really want to have.
So I actually have a question for you, Dr. Beatty. So you said that the graduate students, their association, that they at one point allocated funds since like they don't pay that fee towards what's it called?
Campus Escort.
Campus Escort, that's what it is. They don't pay a specific fee, but they did allocate funds at one point in like
they do this, it's like, I don't know however many years it is. Like, when I sat on there, we had money left over in our operating, and we moved $19,000 to ASUS to buy a Campus Escort van. So they're not contributing, right? And I don't know what the percentage of uses versus contribution or anything like that, but Campus Escort is largely and almost fully funded by ASUS. Now, Shannon Ellis has a, it's not alumni, but it's like a parents' fund where people donate, and quite often she helps. She'll put that money in to get vans too. Or when Brandon Boone was president, she used some of that money when Brandon wanted to put hydration stations in all the colleges because it was really expensive. So we do get, you all get some outside help from different people, Shannon's office especially, but GSA will do that. And I don't know if it's once every 3 years or once every 5 years, but it's yeah, we get, we're using the service, and you know, but ASUM's largely paying for it. So here's a van or half a van. Helena, if you wanted to meet with her, might have a better idea.
Okay.
And she's in charge of campus. But yeah, they do contribute. It's just, you know, some different things are very important to graduate students and undergraduate students. And the big thing is professional conferences, especially if they're moving from a master's program into a PhD program. So they spend a large portion of their funding on travel and professional conferences. And their fee is much smaller, and they have many less students. So their funding pot isn't as ripe. I think when I was there, it was about $400,000 versus ASUN's $2.3 million.
Yeah. Going off of that, I guess we would have to like find like the numbers of like the proportion of like graduate students, the undergraduate students who actually use the Mass Center. But Dr. Beatty, do you think it would be a good idea maybe to like possibly like sit down with the Graduate Student Association to even discuss like them possibly allocating any funds that they might have left over to giving that to the Mass Center or something like that? Senator Wilder.
That's something that I was going to talk about
once
it came around, because I'm planning on attending maybe a GSA meeting and speaking in public comment just about this, just because when we were talking to the Mass Center, they were talking about all of these funds that they have to get from all of these like random places, like how what's her name? Danielle. Her name is Danielle. I forgot her last name. But how half of her paycheck is from the provost office, like, I feel like that just, like, shouldn't be coming from there. And also, because there are so many, they express that, like, lots of graduate students do come in and use the Mass Center. And so I wanted to talk to GSA in specific, just because when you are a graduate student, you don't take, like, Silver Core credits or anything like that. So I wanted to figure out maybe some sort of way to, like,
maybe just tailor it towards like graduate students who are doing STEM studies or something like that. But I'm not sure. That's still like a working idea.
Senator Sewell. Yeah, my other thing kind of off of this, but it's a question for you, Dr. Beattie. The when we went and talked to the tutoring center, they didn't know that they could request funding from ASUN. Is that like bad? Like, that's obviously bad because they're not getting funding from us, but like, do you know why they don't know about that? Dr. B.
In general, I don't think people should come request money from ASUN. Right. That's just my personal opinion. I think you all should create your own initiatives. It's different when they come and there's a fee, right, and they're looking for your support. Like, the Career Center didn't come to ASUN and say, we want to start an internship program. Can you give us $60,000? ASUN said, hey, we want students to have livable wages, right, and we want to pay at least $10.50 an hour, and we want them to have a job in which will go to their career when everything's said and done, right? And they created that program, and then they went to the Career Studio and said, hey, you're the experts in this. If we provided some funding, would you help carry it out, right? That's a true partnership. Same thing, like Casey Steidler realized that, President Steidler realized that undergraduates should be doing research, right? Especially if they want to go to graduate school. And we're moving towards this high research, you know. So they wrote a resolution, contacted the Office of Undergraduate Research and said, hey, if we provide you with $25,000, because you're the experts, will you dole that out in research grants to get our students to undergrad? And then there it went, right? People are going to come, like the Arboretum Board, and say, hey, we need some trees, and you're flush with money, so give us some money. I don't think it should work that way. But I understand everyone has their agenda, too, right? And this is one of the funding sources they can approach.
Casual. So then I guess my thing is just, why does the Math Center and the Writing Center get money from us, but the Tutoring Center doesn't? Like, I feel like there's just...
So I don't think the Math Center and the Writing Center gets money from you. They get a fee that you pass a resolution in support of. ASUN just doesn't cut them a check. I could be mistaken, but in my 5 years, I've never heard that. My understanding is that the provost came in and asked ASUN to write a resolution in support of a $25 per semester fee to go to those two areas.
Okay.
And ASUN wrote a resolution in favor of. I could be wrong. I wasn't working here when that happened, but that's what I understood when the provost came in and talked to Senate a few months ago. But I don't know, and Sandy would be able to answer that directly because she knows more about all the fine workings of the finances than I do. But that's generally how it works. Or you all come up with a program, and then you sign an agreement with an office and you send them money. But usually we see those people come into Senate and report, like the PAC internship people will come in and report where all of your money went. Scott Mensing will come in and report about what students and each student, how much they got, and what their research was.
Senator Wilde, did you want to add anything else about tutoring, or was that all of it?
Yeah, so I did want to add a few things about tutoring. So just kind of like some of the things going forward. Earlier before the summer started, I also met with the Career Studio and talked with them, and some of the common factors that they were having like issues with between the Math Center, the Tutoring Center, and the Career Studio was that they just want like more outreach, like more information put out there for all the resources that they offer. And so me and Senator Sewell want to do an information campaign working table. We're going to have a meeting with Inkblot next week to create some flyers that have like lists of all of the resources that people can use for midterm season with all of the centers, all of the relevant numbers, and maybe some of the upcoming events that are going on in the semester, review sessions, things like that, that can assist them with their studies. So that's something we're going to be working on, and that's still like something that's like a work in progress because we haven't met with the Writing Center yet. But yes, that's the thing that we're going to be doing for the help centers. And then also, this was just an idea I had for a resolution. Something that the Tutoring Center and the Math Center said was that just the academic success fee for the undergraduate students being $25 has been like that for 10 years, and they think it's like a really outdated number, and that they don't like have enough money to like allocate to all of their resources that they have and all of the new tutors that they had to hire and things like that, you know, just because our school has been growing so much in the past 10 years. And so I wanted to maybe write a resolution just in favor of reevaluating the academic success fee and then send it to all of the people who would be actually making that decision. So that's that. That's everything on Help Centers from me.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I didn't even know it hasn't been updated in 10 years, so that's good to know. So two things. So Writing Center, I'm sure you guys have probably sent them multiple emails, but just be annoying and keep contacting them, because I do want to make sure we're getting in contact with them and seeing what's on their agenda. So just make sure you're following up with them, and if they're not responding to emails, maybe go in person or call them. And then number two was, I don't remember what number two was. Maybe that was it. Okay. I think we're good. Yeah, keep me updated on all that. Dr. Beatty.
So just for your verification, currently you pay several fees, right? You pay your registration fee, which is just a per credit fee, because in the state of Nevada, it's illegal to charge in-state students tuition, and it's constitutional. So they charge per credit fees. And then you get an ASUN fee per credit, that's $5. Technology fee per credit is $9. A health center fee, and this is just for students enrolled or six or more credits, so it's just one time, $93. Counseling services fee for students enrolled in six or more credits, that's $50. A performing arts fee, which is $5. A student union fee for students in less than four credits is $25, or more than four credits is $94. A fitness center fee, which is $45, and the academic success fee, which you're talking about, which is $25. And that's what makes up your bill, pretty much.
So yeah, the only other thing I remembered, if you do get in touch with GSA, let me know how that goes. Oh, and also one more thing, if you guys could, probably just email them. You probably don't have to meet with them in person again, but if you could find out like the ratio or like number of undergrad students to graduate students who attend the Mass Center, that'd be great to know, just for information, like, because it'd be interesting to see if there actually is a large amount of graduate students attending, and considering that they don't pay an academic success fee like undergraduate students. So that's just something to consider, but I think that all that's great. Thanks for all that. So moving on from there, Senator Hughes, do you have any updates on any of your liaison positions?
So Emily covered all of the provost information. That was really big. I'm currently working with all of the interns to explain to them, like I brought up the importance of the strategic plan yesterday at the meeting, and then like I announced to all the senators that we should be doing that. One thing, like, he does want to come in and talk to everyone about that. So personally, like, I don't know. Personally, I think it would be awesome to get the input from all of the senators, like at Senate. But that's kind of your call.
That'd be great, yeah.
Yeah, just like, I think multiple times, just because he does want to have like the master plan and strategic plans for the university incorporated, or our plan incorporated into the university's plans. So I think that would be awesome. I don't have any, can you tell me the other liaison position I'm supposed to be doing?
Yeah, you're on Office of Administration and Records with Senator Hudson and MI.
Okay.
That was kind of on my half. If you guys haven't gotten in touch with them, I can only find one email to contact them.
I actually know one of the people who works, I have a contact there,
okay,
so I can work on that. But last meeting, I brought up all of the College of Engineering senators are concerned with differential fees, so I just have an update on that. I did apply for that position, and I was elected as a representative on the differential fees committee, so that's like one of the major concerns with academia within our college, representing 2,700 people, so I'll be able to have a lot more input on that.
And then update for you on that.
Senator Sewell,
update for you on that too. Apparently, we pay a lot for the past sessions that the tutoring center uses for our classes.
Wait, I'm sorry.
With our differential fees, another thing that we pay for with them is our past leaders for through the tutoring center. So like statics and like statics two, and different classes like that, we pay for our past session leaders, but that's because we expect to have more in those classes, because those classes are so hard. Like statics, it's like the most dropped out of class, and like the most class, or the highest class that has the highest non-pass rate, like failure rate. So we pay for extra pass, but that's because we want more, or we don't have over 100 students. So that's another thing to think about too, is if we don't have over 100 students in a class, even though we want a past leader, they won't provide, like, they will not pay for one, so we have to pay for potential fees, so.
So, Senator Hughes, you said, I'm sorry, what position you say you have now on the, for, you said you were?
I am the representative for the civil engineering department for the committee on differential fees. I don't know the, like, the official name for it, but committee on differential fees. So we, like, meet with the dean and make proposals. Also, another thing that on behalf of, like, the engineering senators, we are writing a we're going to meet with the dean and then hopefully write a differential fees proposal. This isn't, like, ASUN funding, but it is just, like, representation to, like, change the doors in one of the engineering, and this impacts science majors too, but changed one of the door locks in the ECC so that students can access it with their Wolf card. Like, we have proxy access here so that they can use, like, AutoCAD and MATLAB at any time that the building's open.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Cool. That's good to hear that you're a representative for that, so you can, like, keep us updated on all that. As for that, do you have any other updates? Nothing? Okay. Senator Wilde, do you have any updates on the other ones that you...
Yes, I do have a few other updates. They actually are kind of just, like, more specific to some things that I'm working on and some things that I discussed this morning in the Committee of University Affairs. So as of right now, I'm working on a resolution that's just kind of like a solo project for peer advising. So I emailed Anthony to kind of give me some help on that. And then I also emailed the head of the College of Liberal Arts Advising, but I'm just like awaiting a response for that. But I think it should be a pretty quick resolution to write. So once I'm going to those meetings and stuff, that should be on the table soon. And then this morning, the Dean of Libraries came to talk to the Committee on University Affairs just about, you know, some of the things that we've talked about before in this committee as well. And I just wanted to let you guys know that maybe I just spoke to her about maybe doing, like, another sort of information campaign for the Knowledge Center and kind of doing some, like, community outreach just for some of the things that the Knowledge Center does, and specifically how to use the library. So how the library, like, doesn't use, like, Dewey Decimal, how they use, like, Library of Congress system and stuff, and how we can maybe educate that to everybody at UNR so they can feel like they can, you know, use the library and whatnot. And that is pretty much it.
Perfect. Yeah, going off of libraries, I know when I spoke to them over the summer, one of their big things was, like, getting outreach to students to show them, like, what they have to offer there, especially their new, like, VR stuff downstairs. On top of libraries as well, I have an update. With regards to, I know in the past we've talked about the whole extending the libraries during the, like, range of, like, finals, and how ASUN would possibly, will consider funding, like, security if they were to extend the hours. This is just my personal opinion. Just considering it with our ASUN, like, budget cut and all of that, I just don't think that it would be necessarily beneficial to really, like, put a lot of our effort into that project, because I spoke with Kathleen Ray again, who's the Dean of Libraries, and they're not really wanting to, like, budge and, like, help fund. They just want ASUN to fund it and see if it works. And so, and I don't have the quote exactly, but I know the quote was pretty expensive to pay those security guards, and they wanted to do a 6-week trial, and so 6 weeks having the library open for that long, it's a lot of money. And considering that we did have the budget cut, I just don't think it'd be a good idea. But if you guys do, we can still look into it and meet with them again. But as of now, I just don't think that's, like, that shouldn't really be one of our main priorities. But if you guys are interested in that, you can still look into that. But as of now, I just don't think that's good. But Senator Wilde.
I may just try to find some, like, financial loopholes that we can maybe jump through, but if I can't, then that's a good idea. Yeah, we should.
I mean, I don't want to kill the idea. I thought it was a good idea just to have a trial run to see if students will actually use it, because I know around finals a lot of students are using the library, but, yeah, as of now, I just don't think... I think it's really difficult to do so. But, yeah, moving on. Senator Amaya, do you have any updates for yours?
Not really. one of the things after the academic integrity board training, I just wanted to review their recent changes for this year because they made a lot of different procedures because there's different levels for academic dishonesty, and some of the levels seem kind of like harsh because like a level 2 is considered signing in for a friend, and I think that's kind of like maybe excessive, maybe it should be level 1. So I was going to review that. I was talking to Anthony about it. And then as far as libraries goes, I forwarded you the email that she sent me, and Hudson and I just kind of want to do exactly what Wolde was saying about like the VR, and then right now they have like 150 years history on the first floor. I didn't really understand it, so I'm also trying to figure that out. As far as that, I totally forgot I was a liaison for A&R, so we'll get started on that. But that's all my updates.
Great. Yeah, no. So yeah, if you guys all want to work together on getting that the outreach for the library or like show what they have to offer, that'd be great.
Okay.
As for the academic board, I actually went through that training myself as well,
nice.
So I'm a part of it.
Cool.
That's pretty cool. But yeah, I agree. That'd be interesting to look at, look into that,
mm-hmm.
And like reviewing it. So, and then Senator Lemus and Ahmed, do you guys have any updates? I'm sure you guys are pretty new, so I'm sure you guys know. Okay, I'll email you guys so you guys can look over all the liaison positions so you guys can, like, kind of team up and work with them, Dr. Beatty.
How comfortable are you guys thus far? A little bit comfortable?
Yeah, feel free to ask any questions.
Do you
want to
partner up with the senator on this committee and they can sort of walk you through some of the stuff you missed and the trainings and all that kind of stuff. So if anyone would be willing to do that, I think that'd be great. Like,
yeah.
Take on a buddy.
Yeah, Senator
Wendy? I'm free right after this.
Well, yeah,
I'm
so,
free
yeah.
Right after this, but I'll send you guys an email anytime.
Okay. Yeah, so if afterwards you guys want to kind of update them, and feel free to ask me any questions. Like, I keep forgetting that you guys are new to the committee, so a lot of the things we're talking about, you're probably like, what? So yeah, feel free to ask questions. Yeah, Senator Wendy. Yeah, that's part of my update. For me, I've been working a lot with undergraduate research, but yeah, the Committee on Academics as a whole is a big part of undergraduate research. We actually fund a lot of the undergraduate research awards, and so Scott Mensing, he's the director of undergraduate research, he doesn't want to come into the committee for some reason. I emailed him, and he's like, I don't feel it really necessary, but he will be coming into Senate and speaking to all of us, but as of now, we're like kind of on top of things, I guess.
Okay.
So he doesn't want to come and speak to us, but yeah, we do have a lot to do with undergraduate research, and as well as the Nevada State Undergraduate Research Journal, which the co-editors will be coming in next week to speak with us. So, Dr. Beatty.
Yeah, you guys do everything with undergraduate research.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool. And then members of this committee will work with Scott to allocate the funds that ASUN gives, both for the Neuro Awards, which is the National Undergraduate Research Award, and the International Research Awards, which are they pair someone with a mentor over summer to conduct research, right? So he'll be calling out for all that stuff, but yeah, pretty much you guys are doing everything right now, so currently.
And I know, Senator Lemus, on when you were kind of running for your position, that on your platform you were really big on one of the Silver Core requirements, and so academics really have a big play in that as well. I mean, we can't change the requirements ourselves, but we are in contact with the provost office, which is kind of head over that. So I would recommend teaming up with the liaisons for that. Who do I have after that? I have Sewell and Hughes as our liaisons for the office of provost. So if you want to team in with them, that'd be a great idea. But yeah, I'll email you guys everything so you guys will know all the liaison positions you have and what senators are in contact with what. But moving on, as for me, my updates, this morning I got an email back from Cami and Cynthia, which were the two girls who came and spoke with us from Tri Beta, the Biological Honor Society, about the Tiny Beta's science fair. I booked the room for our ballrooms for the science fair. It'll be January 31st, which is a Thursday. We are anticipating a Friday, but every single Friday is like booked out until like the end of the year for Nevada Bound. So unfortunately we couldn't get a Friday, but it's going to be a Thursday. We booked them from 9 to 2. So we have a long way to go, but just mark that in your calendar. They emailed me this morning, though, with the list of clubs that they would like to invite. And they sent me like a template of what to say to them. So when we go speak to them to invite them to the science fair, they can come and like, we'll send the emails out first and then we'll go speak to them if they're even like interested. But I'll like divide up the clubs and you guys will each have a few, and then I'll send out the template, and all you guys really have to do is just copy and paste that template, fill in like your name and then fill in the club and just send it out to them, and let me know if you get a response, and then we'll go speak to them. If you don't get a response, I'm going to keep asking you guys just to get in contact with them, just so we make sure we have a lot of clubs, because we did book the entire ballroom space, because last year they had a good outcome. They had 400 plus elementary students and then a lot of clubs with the science projects, so I think it's a really good idea to like keep it that large, so we're hoping to get a lot of clubs. As for the social justice scholar program, we haven't touched on that a lot. I still haven't gotten any questions from you guys. I know how I have a couple questions, but I don't want to call these institutions with only a couple questions. I want to, like, Hannah, or President Jackson asked me for a thorough, like, in-depth report of these social justice scholar programs, and so I want to get a good list. So, Senator Wilding.
I actually would really like to work on this program, the Social Justice Scholar Program. I talked to President Jackson recently about kind of like taking it on and meeting with the Dean of Liberal Arts to talk to her about it and how we can maybe fund it through undergraduate research and just kind of like make it sort of, I want to get all the liberal arts senators kind of on board with it, just because it's sort of like a political science aimed sort of idea. So I want to like start working on that within the next couple weeks, so I'll definitely be sending in questions and doing research on that.
Good. Okay,
I've just been busy with
No worries. Yeah, for sure. I wanted to like touch on that because Hannah and I spoke a long time ago, and so I just wanted to get the ball rolling for that. So that's great. For Senator Lemus and Ahmed, so what that is, I don't think you guys were in the committee yet when we discussed it, but there's other institutions in the nation. There's one in, I always forget, it's in like Iowa or Indiana, and then UCLA, and then one of the UC schools. President Jackson came across them, she was at like a conference, and noticed that they have these programs, and they all kind of have different names, but generally it's a social justice scholar program. And what they do is it's run by students, and each of them, like, they get funding different ways, which is one of the things we'll find out, but they basically just put on a lot of events. They have speakers come and talk about, like, social justice issues. They'll put on, like, events, different things surrounding social justice, but President Jackson's idea for us was potentially teaming up with undergraduate research and using, because undergraduate research currently has expressed that they want more research like outside of STEM, since STEM seems to be like the biggest. There's not a lot of humanities that do research, and it's kind of hard. So what her idea was to use the funds from undergraduate research to fund the Social Justice Scholar Program. And so not only would they have like speakers and stuff come, but they would be doing research like on social justice. So it's kind of like, it's research, but it's also like the social justice program, so something like that. But we're working on right now is just looking at other models, so the other institutions, and like compiling a list of questions that we have for them, and then we'll call them and get all those questions answered, and then like type up like a really detailed report, and then present that to the Office of Undergraduate Research as well as College of Liberal Arts, since that's kind of like humanities, and see what they have to say. But that's pretty much that. Other update for me, the IT program, I told you guys I got in contact with finally, that was great. Actually, rewind. So Senator Lemus and Ahmed, over the summer there's this program called Freenters. It's a company based out of Chicago. The CEO contacted me expressing interest of bringing that program to the university. And basically what it is, it would offer free printing for students on campus, because I don't know how much printing is a page right now, but we pay for printing here at the university. Students do. And what it would basically do is give students free printing by, like, every four pages that you print, the fourth one will be filled with, like, ads and coupons from local and nationwide businesses. And so those businesses pay the company to have their ads on the pieces of paper, and then those that money is used to pay for the printing. And there's, like, a bunch of other details. I can send you guys the PowerPoints. It, like, goes really in-depth and, like, it talks all about it. But he contacted me and was hoping to bring that to the university. And so we've been working on it. And I just got in contact with the IT department to see if this is even, like, feasible. Like, can we do this? And the meeting went well. Tina Hill was her name. I don't know what her position was. But she told me that, like, yes, this is possible, but currently IT is working on getting all the printers on campus, like, universal, because right now, like, there's, like, different departments on campus that use, like, different types of printing systems, and so they're right now working on getting all the printers all across campus, like, to be the same, like, I don't know, something like that. She said depending on, like, how hard it's going to be, it could be done by the end of the year, so, like, December, January, or even May, and so, which could affect possibly introducing to this to the campus, but they said they're all in. Like, she really, like, she, like, thinks it's a great idea. It'd be something interesting to have, but right now, it's just depending on how long this printing thing takes. She wants to focus on getting it all universal before we implement, like, free printing. But as of now, our steps next are to find a stakeholder for this, which is basically just saying somebody supports us fully. So I think I'm going to get in contact with Student Services, probably Shannon Ellis, because she seems to support a lot of the things that ASUN does. And so I'm going to ask if she thinks it's a good idea, and if she does, she'll be the stakeholder. That's really it. She's not, like, paying for anything. And then from there, I'll put in a request, and then, yeah. So that's all I have for updates. Now move on from there. Do you guys have any other updates? No? All right, seeing none, we'll move to agenda item 6, new business A, discussion on, no, just kidding. I'm looking at, actually, we're gonna skip A, because I already talked about that in my update. 6B, a discussion on Senate Resolution 86, a resolution in support of changing the requirements for graduating Latin honors. So as we all know, we've seen this at Senate, but obviously it was referred back to the committee, so we're going to discuss it again. If you look over it, I added a couple new line items on, like, page 211, 11 through, like, 8 or 11 through 17. This was suggested by Senator Hudson after Provost Carmen came and spoke with us. It was noted that not only with this new criteria that is being proposed, would it change the GPA, but it would also remove the fact that, like, you won't need, like, a certain amount of credits anymore. Like, you could just need the GPA. Like, it's strictly just GPA, so no more credits, and then no more, like, requirements for transfer students. So I basically just added that in there. But I'm seeking a motion to, what am I seeking a motion for? To, like, recommend?
Favorably
recommend. Senate Resolution 86, a resolution in support of changing the requirements for graduating with Latin honors. Senator Wilde?
I move to favorably recommend Senate Resolution 86, a resolution in support of changing the requirements for graduating with Latin honors. 3 unanimous consent.
Is there any dissent to the motion?
No, we need to discuss it.
We'll move into a discussion, and then we'll vote.
I think we're just moving to recommend it right now, and then we'll move to discussion.
Yeah, and then we'll vote on it.
Okay.
So is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, we'll move into a discussion. So, I kind of already described the new things that we add, but Senator Hughes, you said, did you send that to all of us? Okay, yeah. So she sent out an email to all of us. You didn't? Okay. Do you want to discuss Senator Hughes?
Okay, I sent it to the people that I could remember their emails that were on the committee. I was literally sitting in my statics class just doing research. So I sent it to Emily, Haley, April, and Dylan. So I can send it to you guys, or if somebody can. Basically, I just sent out an example of, like, similar colleges to us, or then, like, aspiring colleges, what they're doing and how they do their Latin honors. So, like, you could see some universities have, like, a set GPA across the university. Other ones have a set GPA in every college. Other universities have a set percentage. And then other universities, like, their colleges have percentages within it. Just to give us some more context on, like, comparing it. And I'll send that right now over to you guys, just so that you know what I'm referencing.
While she's doing that, I forgot to note, I did actually add another note in there after Provost Carmen spoke with us, because originally he sent me this criteria, and it was like really strict criteria. And then when he came and spoke at Senate, he like gave us different criteria, and so I had to like change all that. And so after looking at the data sent to us, with this new criteria, if we were to apply it to last year's 2018 graduates, there would have been 13.66% of those students graduating with Latin honors. But with the criteria that is currently set, there was only 6.54, which is pretty low. And the Office of Provost, like, their goal is to get at least 10. And so that's just something to consider. If we were to keep it how it is now, the percentages are pretty low if it's staying stable with students' GPAs. And if it were to be changed, it more than likely would increase the amount of students graduating with it. So that's just something to note. Senator Hughes.
Okay, I don't like this legislation, but I'm pulling it up really fast. Like, not that I don't like your legislation.
No, no, no.
I'm sorry. I said that way wrong.
No,
I mean, I don't like the proposal that the provost is giving. So, first off, I just wanted to reference when this is line item 3 on page 2. It says, whereas using the proposed criteria, approximately 10% of graduating seniors would qualify for Latin honors. This was a quote from Provost Carmen. So, I actually did the calculations based off the information that he sent us. So, for example, the College of Ag would go from 9.8% to 15.04%, but then the College of Business would go from 8.66% to 6.13% of people receiving it. But then, like, health science and nursing would have over 25% of their students graduating with Latin honors. But, like, for example, and this could be, like, an issue with interdisciplinary, but 2.99% would be getting it from interdisciplinary, and journalism and business would both be having less than 7%. So 7% versus 28%, I think that that's completely unfair. I don't necessarily know what the answer to that is, but in addition to that, so basically the whole idea behind this, as stated in line item 6, they're doing this to establish clear criteria. However, since it's based off of years, like the graduating class 2 years previous, I think that that's already obvious. As like a sophomore, you know where, like, what it will be. Like, if you wanted to access that information, obviously it's already available because that class is graduated. So as a sophomore, you know what the what the criteria will be. So I kind of disagree with it on that sense. And then additionally, I don't like getting rid of the semester requirements and criteria, like how many classes you have to take from the university, because that's once again just like a problem. So like if you took a lot of classes at TMCC, there's a grading difference between those and the university. So it's just like bringing in a lot of unnecessary variables.
Senator Wilday.
Also going off of, for all of the same reasons as Senator Hughes, I also don't really approve of this proposal. And I think that the answer is that because there's so much like inequality in regards to like of who would be getting Latin honors within the college, it should be like
I think that in order to, like, solve the problem that they're trying to solve, like, make sure people are educated about, like, what Latin honors mm-hmm. Is to have a set requirement for each college. And so I feel like maybe, like, we should write some legislation in favor of doing that, because then that way it would be more equitable towards, like, okay, yeah, like, there's all of these nursing students who have really high GPAs, so they should have, like, a higher standard for Latin honors just because of that. So not, like, 30% of them gets it as opposed to, like, 7% of whatever other college, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like that would be kind of just, like, the way that we could kind of fix up this legislation to be, like, more like what we want it to be. There's something else I was going to say, but I forgot.
So as for that, like, if we probably would, the legislation would probably just get, if it were to go to Senate, it would probably just, if that is the decision, then I think from there, a whole new set of criteria would have to be proposed, a whole new piece of legislation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Senator Sewell.
I just don't really like how Provost Carmen kind of went about this. At first, we started off with his set rules of a 4.0 being SUM, or hold on, I forget what they were, but basically the bottom one was like a 3.8 or something. Now it's a 3.75, and additionally now we have these distinctions that transfer students need that are now being removed, which wasn't really clear in Senate to any of us either.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's, like, now this has two parts of it, and I don't really agree with either one of them. But having, like Senator Hughes was saying, having transfer students come in and not need to take a certain amount of classes here anymore, also I feel like loses the distinction of Latin honors, because they could do not very well in whatever school they're transferring from, because you only need a certain GPA to come here, but then get a 4.0 their last year here and graduate with the highest of Latin honors, because they don't need whatever, like, they don't need to have a certain amount of credits here anymore, and that GPA is just different. So I feel like there's, like, that it loses its sense of distinction when transfer students aren't required to take the classes that all the other students are here.
You're next. I just had one thing to say. I know I keep saying, like, Provost Carmen, like, yeah, he did, like, recommend this, but, like, it wasn't just him, it was him and all of our deans. Like, I don't know specifically what each dean had to say about it, but as a whole, the majority voted in, like, support of this. And so, so it's not just Provost Carmen. Like, I don't want to, like, put him under the spotlight and be like, this is your fault, but so it's just to keep in mind, like, all of our deans actually did say that they want this. So, Senator Hughes.
So, two things. First of all, I would like to, like, credit this to Chair Collins when she mentioned that it would be increasing the amount of people who get it. So currently, I think a major issue, like, there are issues with our current system. If only 6.54% of people are getting it, but it's based off criteria that should allow 10%. Like, obviously, there are issues. However, I just don't think that this is, like, the appropriate method to fix those. Yes, I do think we should be advocating for change, but I do not think, like, we should, like, personally, I do not approve of this proposal. Additionally, I think, like, with that said, it would be really good, like, to encourage, like, one person at least from each college to go and talk to their dean. Because, like, this isn't, if it's not time sensitive, maybe we should hear why the deans were approving it and, like, express our concerns to the deans, like, on that level. Because I do feel very passionately about this. So if, like, we actually don't want it to be approved, because, like, it goes further than just us writing legislation, like, that's not necessarily going to change anything. But expressing that concern to our dean, like, personally, I think would be very appropriate as well.
Any further discussion? So our decisions from here, from what it sounds like, I don't know what the rest of the Senate body is going to have to say. So we can either bring this back to Senate and the entire Senate body can discuss it, or we can just kill it here and we can go back, speak with the provost and see if they want to come up with another proposed criteria, or like the, you guys said, we can go speak with the deans, and then who knows, they can come up with a whole new criteria, maybe not based on having one set GPA. So it's really up to our discretion. So Senator Sewell.
I think that we should just not ever bring it back to the Senate table. I think that we all kind of just disagreed with it at Senate anyway. And right now, even just the seven of us here want to change what it is, either amend it or create a new one. So then when we have that new resolution, I think that's when we can bring it back to the Senate table. One of my, like, ideas for a solution, and it's very rough, so, like, apologies for that, is in, like, high school, how you have a rank system where on, like, whatever, like, Infinite Campus or whatever it is, you, like, know, like, on your transcript what number out of students mm-hmm. you are. And I feel like that'd be really easy to do with yeah. this, just because we have Mind Nevada and we have access to our GPA, which is always changing, as well as the amount of people that are enrolled is yeah. always changing, too. And so the problem that Provost and all of our deans had was that students were only knowing what GPA they needed 2 years in advance of graduating, instead of the 4 years and, like, kind of knowing throughout the entire thing. I'm trying to find it, and I can't find it here, but, like, the amount of students, oh, here we go, that are enrolled, like, right now is for engineering is going to be 448. So it's very easy to say on Mind Nevada, you're ranked 150th out of 448, and to do that math, that the top 10% graduate yeah. with Latin honors, like, the top 2.5 be summa, top 5 be magna cum, and, like, the top, like, 10% cum, like, it's not difficult to do, and that's what they're trying to do, and therefore you get rid of this discrepancy of 7% graduate here, but, like, 8.5% graduate in this college, and then there's still that discrepancy afterwards, too, because some colleges, like Senator Hughes was saying, like, nursing, it has almost 30% of people graduating, and that loses its distinction of Latin honors, whereas now with business, only 6% is graduating, so you still have that 10% even there.
Yeah, I agree, and actually, now that I'm thinking of it, our committee as a whole, we have the decision to kill this piece of legislation here, but I think it'd be beneficial to, because we can vote in not support of this and bring it to Senate, and then if Senate does decide that as well, this will be sent out to the deans and President Johnson, and so it'll just for them to see and make note that ASUN doesn't support that, whereas if we kill it here, they could still choose to go through with this. Like, we don't have the jurisdiction over that. And so I think just if that were to happen, it would just kind of give them reference, like, hey, like, this is official. Like, ASUN, like, does not support this. So that's up to you guys. Senator Wilde?
I think we should bring it to Senate and kind of, like, do that process. I think that's a good idea because I think that the whole Senate body would kind of also be in favor of this idea, as, like, the last meeting, Senator McKinney did bring up that idea of, like, making it specific to each college, so maybe we could even just, like, it seems like the whole Senate body would be disapproving of it.
Yeah.
I think that would be, like, a
so
faster
I
solution.
Think from here, well, first we'll have to vote because we're right now in a discussion in support
yeah.
of it, so we'd have to vote, and then we'll go into a discussion not in support of it, and then vote, and then it'll potentially go to Senate, and then if they agree with that decision, then it'll be sent out to them. And then from there, we can write another piece of legislation with a whole new criteria, or we can go talk to them. So, yeah. Senator Hughes?
I think, like, as a committee, it's kind of on us to gain more information to bring to the Senate body. So I think before this goes to Senate, I think that we need to, like, talk to our deans. I think that would be super beneficial, just so, like, we can bring more insight. But additionally, like, if it is going to Senate, I think that we should, because if none of us are in support of it, there's no point in bringing it to Senate in support. Like, it would make more sense to just, like, write an entirely new resolution that says a resolution not in support of changing it, so that we can send that explaining why we're not in support of it.
Yeah, we can do that as well, but just, like, for time's sake, just it isn't a time-sensitive thing. But just so we can show the provost and all the deans, like, right away that we don't support this, we can just, like, send this to Senate and potentially vote, like, not in support of it. It would serve the same purpose. It would just say a resolution in support, but then it would say that ASUN decided not to support this. Senator Hughes?
The problem with that I see is that they wouldn't, nowhere in the legislation would it explain why we don't support it.
Okay, I see that. Yeah, that's a good point. So, is there any further discussion, or do you guys want to move into a vote? Senator Sewell?
Just out of curiosity, is he waiting for our resolution to either put this in place or not? Like, how do we know it's not something?
So, when he was first talking to us, he was saying that they originally thought that this was going to go through Senate easily, but obviously that's not the case, and that it would be implemented in May 2019, so graduating next semester. But after speaking with Senate, and they changed some of the criteria, I think this wouldn't be implemented until the following year, so 2020. And so it's not really time sensitive as of now. Senator Hughes?
We could always fast track it as well if that becomes an issue, mm-hmm. because I think the committee's pretty
uniform on what we think. So
I think that's a good idea, and we all seem set in like what we're thinking. So we wouldn't really need to have a discussion on that. So I think a good idea would be to have something fast tracked for that. So if you guys want to move into a vote, or is there further discussion? Senator Wilding.
If we were to table it and like edit it also?
This piece of legislation?
Yeah, because maybe we could like table it to next meeting, like maybe try to get in contact with some of those people, and then we could bring it back to the table. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Yeah, we can do that, and on top of that, we can also at the same time be writing that other piece of legislation saying not in support. So, as of now, let's stick to this piece of legislation. Is there any further discussion? No? Okay, we'll move into a vote. All those in favor of supporting or all those in favor of Senate Resolution 86, a resolution in support of changing the requirements for graduating Latin honors, say aye. All those opposed.
Nay.
Abstentions? All right. Motion does not pass. So we can have a motion to support this and send it to Senate, but Senator Wilde's idea was to table, and then we can also, if we want, write another piece of legislation. So, Senator Hughes.
Can I say like a discussion point? I think like if we do table it, we could come back with an entirely different perspective. So I really like that idea. And additionally, we could write legislation so that at the table next committee meeting, we could just amend it like through substitution and just substitute it with the direct opposite, like explaining why we're against it.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Any further discussion on agenda item B? No. We're all clear and set with what's gonna go on from now. Okay, cool. Moving to agenda item 7, public comment. Is there any public comment at the time?
We have to table.
Do we really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Moving back into agenda item 6B, discussion on Senate Resolution 86, a resolution in support of changing the requirements for graduating with Latin honors. I'm seeking a motion to table Senate Resolution 86. A resolution in support of changing the requirements for graduating with Latin honors. Senator Wilde.
Okay. I move to table Senate Resolution 86, a resolution in support of changing the requirements for graduating with Latin honors.
Is there any dissent to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. So this piece of legislation is going to be tabled, so we'll all go speak with our deans. I'm going to send out an email because this is what we've been talking about a lot, so there's going to be a lot to remember. But yeah, so we'll go talk to our deans. In the meantime, we'll also work on another piece of legislation, and if that's what we see necessary. Other than that, moving to agenda item 7, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? No. Oh, wait, Senator Hughes.
I do have a question. Like, I know my dean's kind of hard to meet with sometimes, so should we just, like, be in communicating about that? And so if we can't, should we reach out to other senators to make sure one senator from each college is, like, doing that outreach?
Yeah, so I think I'll send out an email to the whole entire Senate body just to tell them what happened during this meeting and let them know that our goal is to speak with the deans and understand their reasoning why they also supported this. I understand, it's really hard to get in contact with deans. Hopefully, because I know all the deans have assistants and people underneath them, so maybe we can try to get in contact with them. Senator Amaya.
I equally have that problem, and all I was going to do is send an email. That way they can just respond through email, and then you also have a written, response.
And like I mentioned earlier with emails, like if they don't respond, just be annoying and keep sending them because that's the only way we're going to get them to respond. And I think regarding this, it's crucial to get their feedback. So, Senator Lemus?
Is our dean? Our dean is a college of science.
For you, you're neuroscience, correct?
Yeah.
So, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dean Thompson. Okay. So, I believe so.
I don't even know.
Yeah, well, that's we'll a question for me.
Yeah, I was looking at it too.
Okay, yeah, but any further public comment? All right, seeing none, moving to agenda item 8, I adjourn this meeting at 2:15 p.m.
Success!
I think we just stopped.